Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think Roz clearly got that. It's whether or not she likes it or not. And I'm saying... when you're
don't have
in,
to like it.
And, yeah. I'm saying when you're in that position, the Miami Dolphins, your history. I mean, when you ain't winning and you ain't getting the job done, excuse me, I have the license and the latitude to engage in any mechanism I damn well choose at that particular moment in time. You don't like the way it feels. And I'm saying, I hope he didn't like it. I hope he was uncomfortable. It doesn't bother me at all because people who don't get the job done don't need to be comfortable.
Stephen A. on that same first take today. And that's what it comes down to. If you're a first-year coach and you're going into a losing organization, I mean, they have been losing now for a while, you need to change the culture. You need to change everything. And the first way you do it is basically, this is how we're going to do business here. And I don't care how good you are. You're right, Kristen. If you don't like it, you're moving out of here. Because you have a honeymoon right now with the owner. 2 years from now, if you end up winning a total of 5 or 6 games over the next 2 years, your honeymoon is over. Your record now speaks for whether you're going to stay with that job or whether you're going to get fired. He has an opportunity to do it his way now.
And the worst thing you could do is bring Kenny Stills aside and do it in private.
Absolutely.
Don't you want to send a message to the 45th, 52nd, 53rd player on the roster? They say to themselves, oh, bleep. If he's going to do this and show up Kenny Stills in front of all of us, what's he going to do to me?
Yeah. Admonish in private and praise in public.
No!
I do not want to work for your company.
Go back to interviewing Greg Popovich on the sidelines.
Yeah, let me go to the phone calls and we'll get some people involved in this. And we got an open line at 617-779-7937. Here's Chris in Connecticut. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you doing?
What's up, Chris?
Listen, I've never heard any other coach address that Colin Kaepernick issue by calling names. And the only reason why Brian Flores is getting an hard time is because he's a Patriot. That's all it is. He's a coach of Belichick tree. I don't see any other reason. What other reason are there to?
You know why? Because, for some reason, it's like the Colin Kaepernick issue, and even though the Jay-Z issue is like, to me, a couple, people removed. It's not Colin Kaepernick. It's Jay-Z now. It's taboo. You can't use it. It's off limits. You can't touch it. You can't use it to prove a point, teach a lesson, or anything. It's like it's sacred. It's like a sacred cow. It needs to be.
Well, I just think if any other coach had done that, it would have been praised today. And I think these people need to go watch.
I don't think they'd be praised. I don't think it has anything to do with Belichick other than people are bringing up the fact that, Bill Belichick wouldn't do this. No, he wouldn't because it's a totally different set of circumstances where Bill is in his career versus where Brian Flores is. I think it has everything to do with the political end of it and the social justice. And there are a lot of people out there, black people right now, who are not happy. The Jay-Z is sitting there basically crossing the line, shaking hands with Roger Goodell, and basically saying we need to move beyond taking a knee. Now, Jay-Z is the new social justice captain or whatever of the league, and he's going to apparently have a say in all of this. And to be honest with you, why do you think Jay-Z is doing all of this? And why do you think now Jay-Z is involved in all the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl? Because nobody wanted to do the halftime anymore. Because of exactly this. Because they were fearful of crossing the line. So guess who crossed the line? Jay-Z.
Well, it's more than that, too. He had a piece of ownership of the Brooklyn Nets. He wants a piece of ownership somewhere
down the road. I'm sure that's a big part of it. You're right. And I think what he's doing, though, is he's looking at it and he's willing to cross the line because it's good business for him. And I think people have trouble understanding that. He's got his own selfish reasons for doing it. Here's Paul. He's also in Connecticut. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. I'm actually a Dolphins fan up here, so I figured I'd chime in a little bit. I mean, I love Kenny Stills. I do. But when you've got a player that calls out the owner like he does and you're a first-year head coach, you've got to go in and kind of assert your way as far as that goes. You can't have that. I mean, I'm sure Stephen Ross is in Flores' ear. Flores and Greer are actually in lockstep for the first time in 15 years. We got a GM and coach in lockstep. And Kenny's not even the best wide receiver on the team. I'm sorry. He's best deep threat, but not the best wide receiver.
Right, I agree with you.
It's a position of strength for this team where they've got a lot of holes right now.
Well, here's the thing. So Kenny Stills is he wants more out of Kenny Stills. And most players that are in the limelight, that are drawing a lot of attention to themselves, they're going to need to also be productive and excel on the field. So some guys, they accidentally put themselves in this position, and then their play starts to suffer. So I'm Brian Flores. I'm like, huh, this is a good opportunity for me to really see what this guy is made of. So I'm going to throw this in his face. I'm going to make it so just weird for him. I'm going to see how he responds. And then Brian Flores gets heat for it.
And what I'll tell you, too, is Kenny, out of all the people I've seen that are taking the knee, Kenny is one of the most involved out there in the community in ways that people see and don't see. So, I mean, he really is putting his money where his mouth is as far as his protests go. But as far as calling out Ross, who probably wasn't the brightest when he's got the RISE initiative for throwing a Trump rally, which I think exacerbated everything
did.
Here.
Yeah, it did.
Completely. Yep. You have to do that. There's a certain point where it's a line crossed. And with Kenny calling out the owner of the team, who has been very supportive of just about everything out there, Ross is really big on all that. I mean, wasn't his best move having a Trump rally. The head of the RISE initiative did kind of call him out too.
Right.
But, you know, when you're one of the players, there's a certain line you have to toe, especially when the noise exceeds the talent.
I agree. And if you're Brian Flores and you're a first-year coach, you have to sit there and you have to deal with that because the owner's your owner, okay? What he's doing, you have no control over. He's going to do what he wants to do. What you have to do is you have to make sure that it doesn't affect what's going on in that locker room with those players. And the best way of doing it is to sit there and say, and he did it. I agree with you guys. I'm with you guys. Even though the owner feels totally different, I'm with you guys. But here's the deal. You need to go and play football. We need to put our head into football. We need to play Jay-Z in the background so that you guys, and you in particular, Kenny Stills, can hear it and can fight through it. I agree with Christian. I think this is the perfect way of trolling this player. If he came out and he said, I don't support him. I don't support what Kaepernick is doing. I could understand the people being pissed off. But these people are being pissed off with a coach who's sitting there telling the people that he agrees with Kaepernick and those taking a knee. And yet we need to still win football games. That's what we're being paid for. What is the problem?
But is it so much Kaepernick, or is it more that people don't want players to be questioned anymore? They don't want tough love from coaches or from general managers. I think it's more of that. I think it's more that, well, you got to treat them with kid gloves. You can't call out a player in front of teammates or in front of media.
So HR comes down to Brian Flores and says, listen,
this is not the way it's done anymore.
We got a whole new list. Listen, okay, this is new. We added some new topics. No Colin Kaepernick references. Can't play Jay-Z, period. You can play Ice Cube, only certain songs.
Okay. Here are certain words you can use when addressing players and certain words that are banned.
It's just like, how do you coach today? I don't know. I mean, Gruden is out there. It seems like he gets it. I mean, he's doing it the right way. He's forcing these guys. He's blitzing. He's practicing hard.
I'm not sure it's going to work. What he's doing now is he's placating Antonio Brown. That's not something Gruden would do.
Let's keep it. Stay in your lane. Okay, that's totally different. His approach to his team is: we're going to play in the preseason games. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to be tough with you. Now you have all these outliers like, you know, Antonio Brown, and what are you supposed to do? He can hold your team hostage. You kind of have to deal with him a little bit differently, but it doesn't mean you're soft on him.
No, but I think, and maybe he's got something worked out with the GM, and the two of them are playing good cop, bad cop. That could very well be happening here. We don't know. I just think with Gruden, he's trying to be old school and new school. I'm just not sure it's going to work.
I think for me, Brian Flores was extremely authentic. He was thinking outside the box. And if anyone can empathize with what these guys are going through, he can.
Yeah.
And you can't deny that. You can't run away from it. You can't say, you know what I wish you should have done? No, you can't do it. If anyone would know what he would be, what's capable or what's appropriate, it's him. I mean, not that he needs to be protected for teaching a guy a lesson, but he is. But he read it wrong. But
I'm bringing attention to my story. So let's talk about that. I'm the son of immigrants. I'm black. I grew up poor. I grew up in New York during the stop and frisk era. So I've been stopped because I fit a description before. So everything that these guys protest, I've lived it. I've experienced it. So, yeah, I applaud those.
That's it. That's all you need to know. So complain. Do you think guys on the Dolphins are complaining about this? Or you think they're like Marcellus Wiley and LeVar Arrington?
I think most of them are probably sitting here going, let's go play football. You're going to get some guys that it's just their the way they operate. Eric Reed is an example. Give Reb the Eric Reed cut. And the game is over last night, and out of nowhere he starts talking about social injustice. And Robert Kraft is getting an awful lot of credit with what he did with Meek Mill and what he's doing with Trump to try to get some of these people out of prison right now, and he throws this out.
What do you think of Robert Kraft's efforts as an owner when it comes to social justice?
What is he doing as it relates to social justice?
Well, he's been involved. Michael Rubin was here tonight. He's been involved with Michael Rubin in terms of trying to help free Meek Mill, and just there are other things that he's done in terms of being supportive of it. But he seems to be one of the owners that potentially maybe is more open than some other guys.
I'm not privy to the things that he's done as it relates to social justice, but it takes a collective effort. I haven't seen anything that he's done.
See, it's pretty amazing to me. So Eric Reed is one of the outspoken guys in the league. First of all, that was Chris Gasper, I think, asking the questions, was it not? Notice no big words to Eric
None.
Reed. Just keeping everything
playing
really
to,
short.
Playing one to his audience. Syllable.
Yeah, exactly. But Eric Reed right there, that disappoints me. So you're going out there and you're making a big, huge deal about it, and I don't mind that if you do that. On your own time, if you want to make a political stand, you're entitled to it. But right there, he doesn't even know the information.
He knows. Oh, no. Come on, Glenn. He knows.
Well, why would he say that? Then why would he say that?
Because he doesn't want to give him any credit.
What is he doing?
He knows.
It's ridiculous.
How could he not know?
But it's ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty easy.
I don't think Kaepernick knows an awful lot of this stuff. I think that's one reason, Greg, you were saying, what has he said lately? I think that's one reason he's so quiet. If you're going to be an activist, why aren't you out there on the front lines? He's not out there on the front lines, and I think he's not out there on the front lines because he's afraid he's going to say the wrong thing. Hmm. That's the biggest problem. He's going to say the wrong thing. But to say, what has he done with social justice?
We need to get an Eric Reed and Ben Watson, too, though. Eric Reed, unbelievable cheap shot on Ben Watson.
What has he done?
What has he done?
What have you done, Eric Reed?
Yeah. You got a fist pumped when you saw him go down. You're like, yes, the record's safe.
No, that's got to happen. When does he turn? It's the last four games of the season. December and January.
I was going to say, I hate to say it, but if anybody could afford a concussion last night, it was Ben Watson because he's got plenty of time before he's eligible to play again. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was kind of a cheap shot last night. And Reed says he's playing dumb again. I guess you're right, playing dumb. I don't know what you're talking about that Ben Watson was tweeting. I don't know what you're talking about. We'll do that next.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. It's the ultimate seafood lovers weekend going on right now through Sunday this weekend at the 99 Restaurants. Try out the ultimate surf and turf with an 8-ounce New York strip paired with grilled shrimp on or fresh local scallops.
Getting hungry now.
Or their famous colossal lobster rolls.
Oh, I love that lobster.
Those lobster rolls are awesome.
They're colossal, by the way.
I was going to say colossal is better.
Yes. When are they bringing them in again?
That's a good point.
I was told today.
I don't think today.
Trending now, guy.
The 99 is always the real deal, by the way.
Oh, I like that.
The Red Sox start an 8-game West Coast road trip tonight. Christian Fourier will be locked in starting at 10:10 for that first pitch. Pre-game starts at 9:10 with Will Fleming out on the West Coast. And Joe Castig and Josh Lewin have the call in the Shaw. Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio
Network. Now, Christian,
Network.
Will you watch the whole game, or were you just kind of sit back
any
and
of
grab
it.
Your transistor radio and listen to everything?
Actually, you know what? If I could find a transistor radio, I would actually enjoy that experience.
There are no transistors.
Yeah, I would.
Sit out in the back porch.
Yeah, and like drink a Narragansett.
You old fuck.
Go sit in your car and listen to it.
E-Rod on the mound tonight, getting the start in San Diego in search of win number 15 of the season. And Mark Stein of the New York Times reports that he's refuting the report that Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, and Donovan Mitchell have been formally named the Team USA captains. And Stein says this is not an official thing with Team USA, and the head coach, Greg Popovich, is just leaning on those three for leadership.
So they stripped them of their captaincy.
Yes.
What is Gilroy? They stripped them of something they never actually had. What is Gilroy going to say about that now?
Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, they have been named captains.
No, stripped of their captaincy.
USA. Take that, Lou Maloney.
They're no longer captains.
How can you be stripped of something you don't have in the first place?
That's a good point.
Tom Brady's application to trademark the term Tom Terrific has been denied by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Quote, the applied for mark consists of or includes matter which may falsely suggest a connection with Tom Seaver, and Brady has up to 6 months to respond to that rejection. And last but not least, former Steelers wide receiver Justin Hunter is finally healthy from a torn labrum. And he's going through a bunch of workouts with teams across the league, including the New England Patriots.
We don't need them. No, Christian already told us. We have all this depth. We don't need this guy. What are they doing? What is Belichick doing?
You don't need him. You don't want him. Forget about need. You don't want him.
That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you see what happened on the hit to Ben Watson?
Just trying to stop him from getting the first down. I looked at the replay. Yeah, he was down.
Some people drew the connection between Ben's tweet and then the hit. Was it personal at all?
What tweet?
The tweet that Ben Watson tweeted, you were saying that you were wrong with the Players Coalition.
I didn't even know he tweeted it. That's not even something that you process in a game.
Right.
I'm not analyzing who has the ball in their hand and what they tweeted at me while I'm playing the game. So
it looked like you said something to him, tried to help him up. What did you just say in that moment?
I just asked him if he was okay.
That's Eric Reed. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not, whether he had seen the Ben Watson tweet, who was responding to Eric Reed, again, over the whole Jay-Z getting involved now in the league as the social injustice or social justice leader or whatever. But it was a cheap shot, and he's going to get fined. There's no question about it.
He should get suspended.
Yeah. I'm not sure he'll get suspended, but he certainly will get fined. And it really was a cheap shot. There was no need for in a preseason game.
Well, okay, so there was, and people are calling it a Twitter beef, but I don't know if it's what I thought it was. Like, Twitter beef to me is a lot of cursing going on.
Well, back and forth.
There was no back and forth.
Yeah. What's the beef then? Where's the beef?
So there was a
topical reference.
So Watson was just responding to Eric Reed, because Eric Reed not happy about the whole Jay-Z thing because Jay-Z's messing it all up. And he was just responding to it. Reed never responded to Watson. So maybe he's telling the truth when he says, it wasn't personal. I never saw his tweet. I don't know what you're talking about.
I believe it wasn't personal. Yeah. I don't believe that he didn't see the tweet. Of course he saw the tweet.
Yeah,
please, come on. That's like somebody said, I don't watch the shows. I don't listen to the radio. I don't read the newspapers.
But see, I think the league should, and I don't know about suspension, but I think that if you're the league, you've got to be harsh on a guy who's out there with a dirty hit in a preseason game, guys. The whole idea is to get through four preseason games where as few people as possible get injured. All right? That's the goal of preseason. And you're out there with a dirty hit in a game like this? Come on.
And you can see, if you watch some of the preseason games around the NFL, you see guys letting up.
Yes.
You see guys hitting
like the Pro Bowl.
Vastly different. Right.
Yes.
Very differently than they would do in the regular season.
So you need to be far more harsh in levying out a penalty to a player who does this in the preseason versus the regular season.
Yeah, I don't know if I actually even buy the whole part where like, oh, that's not something I'm processing. No, what you during a play. No, you've processed it before the game starts.
I'm going to get that son of a bitch before
I can't wait. Oh, he better not catch the ball. He better not catch the ball. He catches the ball, hits him late. It was so textbook, just seriously, like you really couldn't slow yourself down. And then, okay, let's say you couldn't adjust quick enough, but then you made it so obvious that you were hitting his head.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so stupid.
Okay, so we talked earlier about the defense, and we don't need to spend a lot of time about the defense. The defense is really good, and the defense is really deep. And so they could absorb some injuries during the course of the season.
And then we'll have
a lot, right, and they have a lot of really good defensive football players. When you get to the offense, the one thing I think we were hoping after the first two games, because we haven't seen much of Harry, he had a couple of catches, and then he's had an injury problem. This undrafted free agent, Jacoby Myers, and was sitting there going, oh my God, this kid has been, he's been exceptional. He's been their best receiver, maybe one of their best players in the first couple of games of the preseason. And yet he's been doing it against the second string, third string, fourth string, fifth string, whatever. Now you saw him with Tom Brady, the guy who is your starting quarterback, and he looked like he was totally out of sync with Brady. Communication not there. 0-for-3, stopped on a route, and you could just see the frustration with Brady. Shoulders dropping like, holy crap. And then you looked at Philip Dorsett and Tom Brady, and that connection all night, the familiarity. And that was totally different. So if you're the Patriots right now and you're looking at Myers, and he's going to make the team probably, and you're looking at it and saying, but Tom Brady has no trust in him. So if we put him on a team, where is he in our depth chart? Because Tom's not going to throw the football to him.
So you mentioned Philip Dorsett and the difference. And then Brady talked about the difference between the two, and not really the difference between the two, but specifically Philip Dorsett and why he likes him so much.
You seem to find Philip Dorsett quite a bit. Yeah. Was a lot of that a matter of familiarity or him getting open?
Yeah, I think both. And I think that it's, you know, Philip is a guy that I play a lot of football with. So I have a lot of trust in, again, when you don't have the full, you know,
this is a simple comeback.
Experience is a great thing in football if you use it well. And I think, you know, our experience together, you know, pays off. I read his body language. And I think the great thing about Phil, he takes advantage of his opportunities. And, you know, a lot of guys have been injured this preseason. Phil plays all three wide receiver positions. Remembers all the coaching points from all the times we've talked about certain things, even though he may not have done it. He goes in there and does it the way that, you know, coach wants it done. So I love playing with Phil. He's been a great contributor to our team, and he had a great night.
Loves playing with him so much, has so much confidence in Philip Dorsett. He didn't even target him for 4 weeks last year.
You keep throwing and laying on that like it matters.
Well, no,
it
doesn't matter. He's got all this trust in him.
It doesn't matter.
Throw him the damn football.
When he was, I know you guys might not think this is a big deal, but if you have, like, during last year, there was some gaps in his performance, and I would say other guys took his reps. They leaned on the running game, or maybe the opportunities just weren't there. Somebody else made the plays, but when you only have one play that you know you're the number one read, and that play works every single time, you're building equity. You're building goodwill equity with Brady. And it may not be, you know, realized until, like, right now, when he's actually forced to play a more important role. I could tell just by the way Philip Dorsett was running his routes, and Brady talked about the, you just call it nonverbal cues. He's able to read his body language. He knows that Philip Dorsett is seeing the exactly the same thing that he's seeing based on coverage and situation. Second and 28. I'm not going to try and get 30 yards on this route. It's going to take too long. I'm going to maybe force it 2 yards down the line. And Brady is reading his body language, throws it on time and on target. And then, okay, no, it's not a first down, but now it's 3rd and 6. Manageable. I can do 3rd and 6. I can't do 3rd and 30. I don't have any plays for that. It's draw or screen. But Jacoby Meyer, the simplest things he struggled with, and maybe chalking up the nerves, right? I've been in those huddles when I was a rookie, and just the fact that the guy was a veteran freaked me out. He just expected me to know it. And so you get out there, you have an easy route, you can't adjust to it, or you stop running. The second one's a quick little out route. He throws it behind you. You got to catch it. Then he gets a holding penalty. When he was targeted, he was 0-for-3.
On a big Sony Michel run, too. That was a big run.
So, I mean, and then he gets in there with Stidham.
Yep.
And it's like, whew, the pressure's off.
Yeah, but I think...
Isn't that a good thing, though?
No, I think there were two things. There was the pressure might have been off, but there was also, now you get the second and third stringers again. So did we not see more of the same with him with Stidham in the second half that we saw in game one and game two? In the first half, you had Brady throwing, but you also had the first teamers for both teams. He wasn't getting much separation. And the one thing we kept on talking about is because he's got a slow 40, and that's apparently why he wasn't drafted, 4.6, 4.40. People were sitting there saying, well, he it's unbelievable. He gets separation, and yet he doesn't have a lot of speed out there. Well, he wasn't getting any separation in the first half of that game. None.
He had that one drop Brady threw it just behind him. It was still a very catchable ball. You got to catch that ball.
Yeah, there's no
question. Well, I would just say, you know, you're talking about, okay, the speed is obvious. One,
the lack of speed is obvious.
Well, it's worse because he doesn't quite trust his brakes. He's slow getting out of them. So, and then Brady's like on time. Hey, let's go. And it's easy for those defensive backs to make the read and cut on the ball.
See,
so
I think
a route that he could round off against the twos or the threes, he tries to do that against the ones. They read the play.
But Christian, how many ones is he going to go against this year? If he's your number three or four guy out there on the field, he's not going up against Pro Bowlers.
Well, he's still going up against much better corners than he faced so far in the preseason. So when he's had success in the preseason, Greg, he's probably been going up against corners that aren't going to be in the league. That's what he's been facing to this point, or guys that are deep on the bench that are basically special
teams.
The
reality
players.
Is that he's just so far behind, and he's not nearly even close to where he should be.
We do this every year. We get excited about some kid. There's a kid that comes along, a tight end, like Sudfeld. So you get all excited about these kids. You say, oh, my God, look at him. But you got to understand what they're playing against. They're playing against talent that is not NFL talent. So I don't know. I think he still is one of those. They're watching him every single day, so they have a much better idea of where's the upside. That's what they got to be thinking, right? What's the upside of this kid? Is it worth it? Can we sneak him in the practice squad? If we can't, do we have to put him on the roster? What is the upside? Is it worth it? So this could go in a lot of different ways. He could make this team. He could be totally cut. And even though he's been maybe the most exciting player we've seen so far in their preseason.
He's been the most consistent.
Yep.
You know, yep. And a lot of it's been it's attributed to that. So,
yeah, can he play against first stringers in the NFL on a regular basis? Can he perform at a high level with NFL players? I don't think he can.
But his IQ, he deserves a spot on this roster.
Well, he does, but you better get your football IQ together. I mean, he had a bad read on what that safety was doing because he just stopped running his route. You better get that together if he's not that quick. Because now he's going to be facing a lot of quick corners that are going to be able to stay with him.
But here's the thing, Glenn, because as Christian says, the wide receiver position is so deep, you're not counting on him. You're not saying we need this guy. I will explain the depth that no one can see but me.
Yeah. Yes, Neo will explain it to you.
Save it. Will you save it? All right, we're back right after this.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, back here on OMF. Lou is off today. We got Greg Dickerson in the house. We've spent a lot of time talking about the Patriots and the Patriots game last night. Again, I don't know what you get out of preseason football. The one thing you probably get out of these three games is you sit there and no matter who's playing defense for the New England Patriots, whether it's a guy that you know is going to start, a guy that's coming off the bench, or a guy that might not even make the freaking team, you're sitting there going, wow, they're pretty good defensively. And my guess is that that's what's going to be the backbone of this team. And they're not going to have to go out and score 35 or 40 points a game, which is going to save their ass, because I'm not sure they're going to be capable of doing that most weekends. You, on the other hand, think the wide receiver corps is just going to open up?
First of all, 2007
all
you guys, tremendous
depth. I think
you guys sit there
more than the Rams. Would you say more than the Rams? More than Kansas City?
Okay,
you want to go through
me,
teams?
I don't have it in front of me. Give me the Los Angeles Rams top three wide receivers.
Robert Woods,
Cooper Kupp.
He was coming back from a serious injury.
Okay, and what's his name from the Patriots?
Sammy Watkins.
Patriots. Who played for the Patriots?
Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks. No, they got a pretty good lineup.
Yeah. How about the Eagles?
Now that's pretty good.
Hold on. Don't do this to yourself.
Hold on. Both you guys should shut up. I'm going to do it to myself. I'm going to like it too. I'm going to enjoy it.
God.
All right, so that's the Rams. Give me.
How about the Eagles?
Give me the Eagles.
Okay, Alshon Jeffrey, DeShaun Jackson, Nelson Agholor.
Pretty good.
How about the Cleveland Browns?
Okay.
Cleveland Browns.
Okay, so that's number three.
Odell Beckham.
Okay.
The guy who came from Miami.
Why can't I remember his name? Parker?
Jarvis Landry.
Okay. Yes. They got a good tight end, too.
And Juco.
From Miami.
Yep, there you go.
Okay, so that's four teams. Give me hold on.
How many teams do you want to go through?
Three for three.
Give me the Chiefs. And this is the last one.
Give me Tampa Bay. Maybe he can win
here. Give me the Chiefs.
I got Tyreek Hill. You've got Sammy Watkins. We'll throw in Travis Kelce.
Okay, fine. He's not a wide receiver, though, so that doesn't count.
But you don't have a tight end. He's better than
DeMarcus Robinson.
We are focused on the wide receivers.
Okay. Dallas Cowboys. No, we're focusing on the passing game.
Here's the deal. Julian Edelman. Hold on. Julian Edelman, MVP of the Super Bowl. Pretty freaking good, right?
Yes.
How old is he?
Doesn't matter how. Age ain't nothing but a number.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So there's no chance that he could go down a little bit.
They could all go down. Cooper Kupp went down. All those guys could go down.
I'm saying, assuming everyone stays healthy. Okay.
Assuming everyone stays healthy. I hate throwing in the whole injury debate, okay? Assuming everyone stays healthy and they live up their expectations, okay? Josh Gordon, pretty damn good.
When he plays, only played 11 games.
I'm assuming he's playing the whole year.
I'm assuming he's playing 11 games.
Listen. When you have 11 games. When you have your theory, you can make the rules.
Okay.
This is my theory. The point is that right now, you have Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, and you have Philip Dorsett. For this offense, is just as good as any of those other guys.
You're crazy.
You don't have to be Brandon Cooks.
Just like
Philip Dorsett can be. DeShaun Jackson's like 80 years old. Like, we're
just
age.
He's nothing but a number.
He can run a go around.
You just said when he was bringing up the age for Edelman. Now it's not a factor, and yet you used it against.
Here, we'll dump that. We'll make it sound smart.
The fact is,
sound like a dope right now.
You're not giving credit. Josh Gordon is not even 30 years old. He's special. And assuming that he stays on board, he's going to be twice as good as he was last year. Last year, 40
twice
catches.
As good.
Yeah, 40 catches, almost a 740 yards. This guy is a 1,000-yard receiver this year. Book it. Write that down.
You're out of your mind.
Clip that. He's a 1,000-yard receiver.
So hold on.
And I heard, did you hear Daron Harmon? I didn't even ask for this, Ryan, so don't even bother playing it. Daron Harmon was on with Dale and Keith the other day, and he talked about how unbelievably special this guy is. And I always talked about him only doing slants and goes, because Daron is talking about how difficult. You can't guard him doing a slant.
So Glenn, help me with my math here for a second.
Can we do one thing, Christian? Yeah. Remember you were...
Oh, hold on.
You
can you play it? Hold on.
Oh,
play,
my God.
Play it for me real quick.
We were just talking to James White about this, but what was your reaction and response to the return of Josh Gordon?
Excited. I mean, excited for him because obviously he loves the game. We're always pulling for him, hoping the best for him, and we're going to be there to support him. So,
it's Patriot talk right
here. I'm just happy that he's allowed to be around the guys.
It is what it is.
We're able to, just show the support and the love for him. And obviously he needs him. We all need him.
Wait, but I'm talking about the slants and the goats.
He's not talking about the slants.
That's not what I want.
So by the way, Falcons, Mohamed Sanu, Julio Jones.
Oh, it's too good. Go to Tampa Bay. Help out the big fella. So can we do what you said earlier?
Yeah, but
you
had worse.
Christian, you said you hate all these shows because everybody agrees, okay? We couldn't disagree with you more on this thing
what
right
you,
now.
Hold on.
So
what
why don't you just shut up and let us disagree?
What are you disagreeing with me about?
Because those are the shows you like.
What? No.
Okay? Yeah. So listen to this. I will give you...
No, hold on. I like nice shows.
You like nice shows?
I like it when everyone's nice to each
We're not
going to
be nice on this show.
That's up for talk show debate. What do you guys think?
Thank you, Tom. You get the wrong show.
That's 10-2.
I will give you Julian Edelman, and I'm not even looking at the age because I still think he can be very, very productive at his age. So he's the one that I feel really confident. Now, you're right. Injury can happen to any player, and I'm leaving injury out of it. I'm talking about looking at the body of work and the most recent body of work, and I feel confident that Julian Edelman is going to have a hell of a season.
That's your one star. Right. Number two star.
I agree with you with the talent that Josh Gordon has. Matter of fact, you kind of put him down and said that he was a two-trick pony last year. That's what
If you got two tricks, they better be damn good ones.
Right. But I would say this. You can't depend on him. A guy that's been suspended.
Cooper Kupp got hurt. Can you depend on him?
Christian, there's one thing about getting hurt. This kid's been suspended six times.
I'm all about ninth chances.
He's got three more to go.
Apparently, so's the NFL.
I mean, you can't depend on him.
If Lou is listening to this, he's pulling his hair out.
I can't depend on Demaryius Thomas. I don't know. He's coming off a major injury. I don't know what he's going to be like. Is he going to be like? What's he going to be like in this system?
First of all, I think everyone. I think sneaky good year is Philip Dorsett this year.
Well, I hope so.
I think sneaky good, sneaky reliable. And based on like the pecking order now, like he's got no choice.
Yeah, but you know the depth chart that they were just reading off with Philly and Atlanta,
pretty good,
and all these other teams,
pretty
good. Those guys have already done it. You're telling me Philip Dorsett will do it? You're making a prediction.
Where has Philip Dorsett done it?
There's been
other players. Who's the Brandon LaFell? He had never done it before. Came here and he did it. He actually struggled in the beginning, and then he became a constant.
That's because Brady is the greatest quarterback in the history of the game.
Okay.
And so Brady can do better with less. I agree with that.
Mature and develop differently, and based on how the year goes, I think just people are undervaluing how good this receiving corps can be. I will give it to you in week six. Demaryius Thomas will take over that Chris Hogan role. He'll catch 25 to 35 catches. He may catch three touchdowns, but they'll have to honor him because I don't care how old he is. He's still a threat, and he'll still come up with that catch. And he runs routes 20 times better than Jacoby Meyer.
Wait a minute. Did I hear that right?
What?
You said Philip Dorsett will catch 25 passes?
No. Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas.
No, okay. Philip Dorsett, he's in the 50s.
Oh.
He's in the 50s. He's 50 to 60.
Demaryius Thomas will not make this team.
See, now we got business.
Okay. Demaryius Thomas will not make this game.
Why?
He's the ultimate prototypical Patriot cut at the end of training camp.
See, I would say there's evidence to show you that he isn't.
How?
Where is it?
The guy you're talking about is Eric Decker. The guy from the Colts.
No. Reggie Wayne.
Reggie Wayne. You know what? You're talking about Reggie Wayne.
No, I'm not.
These are guys that came over late.
Christian, I don't care if this guy, he's been here through all of OTAs, passing camp, all of training camp. He's coming off his second Achilles injury.
You want to know
he's
who else
32
came
years
you
want, old.
You want to
he's
know who
soft
else?
As puppy poop.
So what does softness have to do with catching passes? Hey, catch
I don't know. It seems to be a problem for a lot of Patriot fans when he was in Denver.
Oh, but Patriot fans, they're so tough. Really like tough guys. You know who else came off multiple Achilles tears and made this team and was legit soft as puppy poop? Cam Cleland. Tight end. Went to the University of Washington, played in New Orleans. That guy and he was a similar situation. He had no business being out there. They waited for him. They knew they were going to need the body. He came in there, caught like nine catches in the first game, but then he never really saw him again.
Fine, I'll buy that with Demaryius Thomas.
I would agree with you, because when I see an older receiver come here after the first preseason game, a guy that wasn't here during the offseason, no OTAs, no first day of camp in the summer, is not part of the training room. They're not seeing him develop. They're not trusting him. That guy has a talk with Bill, says, you know what, I'm done. Eric Decker last year, Reggie Wayne the year before that.
Eric Decker was done.
I'll give you a better one.
But why Demaryius Thomas now? If that's the issue, he's not on PUP, get rid of him now.
And I think they will. I'll give you a point to back up my argument. Malcolm Mitchell was here through all OTAs, camp, had familiarity with this team, familiarity with Tom Brady and all. physically, he couldn't handle
different situation.
It anymore.
He had
physically,
made,
he
hold
couldn't
on.
Do
but,
it.
Okay, this is not, if you were to say, hey, he was cut and he couldn't physically because he had a knee injury. Malcolm Mitchell had degenerative issues that he could not recover from going back to college. So the guy had one good year here, but otherwise he just, and then he changed his workout regimen. He wasn't doing the right thing, and they switched it at the last minute, and it was too little too late. Different situation. I'm talking about, and you know it because you just mentioned it, the Eric Deckers of the world, the Reggie Waynes of the world, to take a different approach. The John Lynch is of the world who came to play for the Patriots in the midway through summer camp and said, you know what? Those guys, Demaryius Thomas, different. I actually think they're, because you know this team, I almost feel like they're used to kind of starting week six, okay? Rex Burkhead barely played last year. When he finally came back, it was another weapon. They relied without him. Sony Michel got hurt. They adjusted. They figured it out. By the time all of them are healthy, they're going to have a really dangerous complement to the running game and a nice options for...
Well, the good news is that they have a defense right now that's going to really give them a margin of error for the offense. That's why I think they probably will go 4-0 this year. Usually they struggle in the first four games. I think they can go 4-0 in this one only because the defense is going to shut these teams down. And maybe he's right, but you can't sit here and feel confident looking at the receiving corps and nothing in the way of pass-catching ability with your tight ends. Nothing.
Zero.
Good about it. Okay. I don't know how you do that.
When you compare the
Thank
Rams...
Thank God you got James White. The maybe Sonny Michel can catch the ball a little
when
bit.
When you compare with those guys...
Yeah, how's that comparison? That was our point.
It's daunting, but
it's
okay.
Our point.
Hold on.
By the way, Oakland, Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, Hunter Renfro.
Whoa.
Wait, did you really just throw Hunter Renfro
over Philip Dorsett?
Yeah.
He was
wait,
a star.
Oh, hold on. Wait. Because I'm not going to ever allow you to
little
speak
dude.
Again.
He's a little
okay.
dude.
Okay. Hunter Renfro? Brian?
You want to do it?
Brian?
Who will have more of an impact?
Hunter, really?
Hold on. I'll go grab Brian. All right. What's up, guys?
You really can't be serious with Hunter Renfro.
Over Philip Dorsett?
Yes.
Sure. Why not? Let's do it. Lock it in. Somebody lock it in for me.
No,
Hunter
Renfro
is going to have more catches.
We're
going to
do
year.
This
are you
now.
You going to debate Brian?
Let's
do it.
Hold on. We're
going to
do this now. We're going to do this now. I got Philip Dorsett having more catches and more receiving yards than your Hunter Renfro.
Sure, let's do it.
The hero of Clemson's national title.
Yep.
Right? That's the Jerry Callahan.
Tough kid.
That's Jerry Callahan's favorite guy.
Little white guy.
First in.
An undersized white kid.
He's got
kind of receiver. The only thing that would have made him happier if he was playing corner.
Oh, we got to take a break.
Smart wide receiver, too.
You happy now? You wanted a show where everybody disagrees. And we all disagree with you, including all of the producers. Everybody hates you today.
Well, what do we disagree with? They have a.
What are you talking about? We just disagree.
They have a crappy wide receiver core?
Yeah, well, you just paying attention.
Nobody's saying
it's a crappy.
I think they're middle of the road. Middle of the road.
You just said they were going to be one of the best.
Oh, my God.
Right now, middle of the road. By week six. The best.
Oh, my God. Thank God it's Friday. You get a few days off. This is ridiculous. We have another hour to go. Do you believe that, Greg? An hour. We're going half an hour commercial free. Can we throw more commercials into anything?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.